Today, we are talking about closing. Closing techniques when it comes to working with buyers, when it comes to working with sellers, and when it comes to working with leads. We have three closing scripts for you today. Now, these scripts may not be your standard script that you think about when you think about a closing technique. And that's simply because a lot of the standard scripts out there just do not work. In fact, they can actually harm your ability to close a transaction. You know, I find it really funny that a lot of times when we're learning about sales, we're learning these scripts that would not work on ourselves or that would make us feel really yuck on the inside if we were to hear this from somebody else. However, for some reason, we think that when we use them, that other person is not going to feel the same way. Well, that's false. So how can we approach closing in a way, in a human way, in a way that our audience, whoever that is, feels like we have their best interest at heart? And the first thing when we start to get into these scripts is understanding that we do need to truly have their best interest at heart. Warmth trumps everything when it comes to closing, and actually in so many different areas of real estate, is if we truly care, this doesn't come across as we're trying to close somebody. In fact, there's actually nothing in here that will relate to closing in a lot of ways. Instead, it's all about determining where they are in the process. Where are they, and how can we help them at this time? Real estate is not just a one and done thing. We're not just going to convert the listing and we're done. That's not the approach. We're going to convert the listing and we're going to take care of that listing over the course of the listing period until it sells. Therefore, we need to approach closing in real estate with a very customer-centric approach. The second we deviate from this, and by deviate, I mean instead of making it customer-centric and make it us-centric, so make it salesperson-centric, as in what is best for us, not what is best for them, the customer is going to pick up on it and you will lose their trust quickly. And whatever you do, don't underestimate trust, because even if for a period of time, if we were to say something, use some sort of closing techniques that does not sit well with that individual, even if they continue to work with us, they may not actually portray that they were upset about our approach. In fact, they're probably just going to tell their family and friends about their pushy realtor. And then, of course, you will lose that ability to get referrals. So be very strategic at this point in time in the transaction. When we are moving towards a closing table, whether it be a seller or whether it be a buyer, whether it be an online lead, this is a very heightened emotional time. And when emotions are heightened, people tend to have better memories. So if you think about anything emotional that's happened in your life or some serious event that occurred, we can always remember back to that day, exactly where we were sitting, who we were with. Well, it's the same concept when people are buying and selling real estate. This is a very emotional time. And if we put them in a position at this point in time, especially when they are emotionally very sensitive, if we put them in a difficult spot, they will remember that forever. Now, before we jump into the three closing techniques that I love, let's paint a picture of what is not an acceptable closing technique. So for example, one that you will read very frequently is if you are in a listing presentation and you have a listing agreement beside you, and after you conduct the listing presentation, you move the contract over to them and you say, all you need to do is sign here and let's get started. Now, in this day and age, I find that not to work very well at all. I've used that in the past, but the reason why I shifted my mindset on that is because I've had that same approach when I was out shopping for other things, and I really disliked it. So why are we doing things that we dislike ourselves? So for that reason, I do not use this. I haven't used it in years, and I'm glad I haven't. The next one on the buyer side, and I remember early in my career, I used to use this all the time, is after I'd show a home, I would say, what'd you think of it? And they said, oh, you know, it's okay. I would change X or Y, but it's not a bad property. And I would say, well, do you want to take a stab and write an offer on it? And I remember a few years into my career, I had a buyer and I was showing her condos. And I said this after we showed the condo, and she looked at me and she said, Mike, I'm not ready to write an offer on anything. And in fact, by saying that, I feel quite uncomfortable. So you can imagine how I felt after that. And I went home and I looked at my process and I said, is this really the approach that I want to be taking with buyers? And after that, I stopped using that approach with buyers, is asking them if they want to write an offer after every showing. I actually have had a lot of buyers that will come to me and they'll say, oh yeah, my last realtor was very pushy. They would always ask me afterwards if I want to write an offer. This is not a great strategy with buyers. It feels like we're pressuring them. It feels like we don't really care if we keep asking that question. Now, there is a strategic time to ask a question like that, but it's further along in the process. Ultimately, our job as real estate agents is not to sell them a house. It is to take away a pain that they are dealing with. Maybe they don't have enough space. Maybe they have a growing family and they need another bedroom. These are pains that they have in their life. Maybe they're too far from work and they need to have a better commute. We need to start thinking of our job as problem solvers for them. We're not house sellers. We are in a service-based business, and we need to be taking care of our clients as we're moving forward in the process. So we don't want to think of ourselves as people that sell homes. We want to think of ourselves as problem solvers, as solution finders for people's pain that they have in their life. And the funny thing about people's pain on this topic is that sometimes they don't even know why they're moving. Sometimes they know they need to move, but they can't put their finger on why. Or sometimes they'll say to you, we need more space. And that's not necessarily the pain. They're not necessarily running out of space. In fact, maybe they just got a promotion and they think that their community doesn't reflect the way that they feel about themselves now that they are at a certain position in their job. This is actually a reason why a lot of people move, is they move for reasons such as that, for image. However, if we are trying to sell them a home just based on space, then we're not solving their root pain, their root cause. So with that in mind, let's jump into how these techniques work. Now, I'm not going to say that all these techniques are an extremely soft approach. I have what I call the perfect close, the soft close, and then the temperature close. And the temperature close itself is a little bit more aggressive, and I will use it in certain circumstances. However, it's not used that often, and it really depends on the circumstance, and it depends on the personality. So we'll get to that, but first, let's start with the one that I use almost all the time in so many different cases, and it's called the perfect close. And it comes out of the book with the same title, The Perfect Close. And the author of the book went through a huge study, watched a whole bunch of people in sales going through their closing techniques. And he found that this technique, although simple, was the most effective. Out of all of the techniques that he tested, he went through tons of sales reps, and this is the technique that works. And I can attest to it. I find it works very well. So what is it? It goes like this. Based on our conversation, I would suggest X as a next step so that Y, which is the reason. So based on what we just discussed, I would suggest we go out and look at a few homes so that you can get a feel for what these homes look like on the inside. That's an example of how you would use this close. On the listing side, maybe you've just wrapped up your listing presentation. How could you use this? So based on what we discussed today, I would suggest that you look through this information. I will give you a shout tomorrow, and then we can decide if it's the right decision to move forward so that we can get the ball rolling. So this is another one that I use very frequently. So I don't like to put the pressure on them at that time. I like to give them a day or so to take in all of the information, but then I promise to follow up, and I still use the same structure. Based on our conversation or based on what we've done, I would suggest X so that Y. Now, what happens if they were to say no to your suggestion, which can happen at times, no problem whatsoever. The next line is, if they were to decline, okay, what's a good next step for you then? And then pause. There is nothing complex about this approach. It is very low pressure, but we are making a recommendation. And in real estate, people are hiring us. Most people are hiring us so that we can recommend certain things, so we can understand their needs, and then we can make strategic recommendations at the right time. So if we are not providing any recommendations at all, then we could be a little bit too soft. So in a lot of ways, we want to offer a recommendation and then say so that and provide a reason. And then if they decline, just ask them what they think the best next step would be and then run with that. It's as simple as that. It doesn't require any fancy wording or anything like that. It's just truly offering a recommendation. And if they're not fond of your recommendation, you ask them what would be best for them. Simple as that. So that's the perfect close. So many use cases for that. I love using it because there is the recommendation or suggestion component built into it. So I'm not forcing them into doing anything, but I am making a suggestion based on our conversation. Now let's move into the next closing technique. And this is what I call the soft closing technique. So this is softer than the perfect close. And with the right personality, this is almost required. So the perfect close I'll use in a lot of cases, and then the soft close I'll use in almost all the other cases. And then of course we'll get to the temperature close next. So the soft close, this works very well for the type of personalities that are very soft. If they're calm, if they're quiet, if they're also very deliberate with the steps that they take. And if we pressure them a little bit too much, then they'll go the other direction and they'll go use somebody else. So the soft close is very similar to the perfect close, but almost in reverse. So the way that it goes is just like this. So after I've done a presentation or I've shown a house, I just simply ask them, what would be the best next step for you? And then I pause there and I let them determine what the next step would be. Again, I'm never selling the close. I'm never selling the house. I'm never selling the listing. Instead, I'm always just trying to sell a next step. And in this case, I'm just directly asking them. I'm not trying to twist their arm into anything. I'm simply saying, what would be the best next step for you? So powerful. And they'll tell you exactly what they want next, which is perfect. That's exactly what we're looking for. Now, the reason why I think of this one as the perfect close in reverse is sometimes when you ask that question, they will have an answer for you. And other times they'll look to you and they'll say, well, what do you recommend? And at that point in time, then we just reverse the perfect close and we say, based on our conversation, I would suggest X so that Y. I'm a huge fan of this closing technique. It's soft, it's warm, it shows that you are most interested in what they want first. And then if they don't necessarily have a recommendation at that point in time, you can turn around and you can provide a suggestion. So these are basically the same closes. You have the perfect close, which is you offering a suggestion first. And then if they decline, you're asking them what the best next step would be. And then you have the soft close, which is asking them what they think the best next step would be. And if they don't have a response or they look to you for a response, then you can make a suggestion. Easy as that. Two perfect closing techniques that I use all the time. The final technique that I use is the temperature close. Now, as we were saying off the start, this one I find to be a little bit more pushy, but not necessarily in a negative way. And there's a certain use case for this. I don't use it under all circumstances, and I don't use it with all personalities. So first I'll go into it, and then we can talk about the use cases for it and where I see it working well. So it works like this. You are finished a presentation or finished showing a home, and at that point in time, you say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how close are you to saying yes, with yes being a 10? And then you pause. So you're giving your, this is actually taking their temperature, is the way that we think about it, is on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, in saying that, I ask them not to choose the number 7. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how close are you to saying yes, with yes being 10, and you can't choose the number 7? Well, this is actually a very useful technique, simply because if they're saying 8, 9, or 10, they're pretty well ready to proceed. If they say 8 or 9, then I ask them, what would you need to see in order to make that a 10? If they say 10, then I just simply say, what would you like to do now? If it's a 5 or a 6, then I just continue on. So either continue on with a presentation, or you just continue on with the process. Now, if it's less than 5, at that point in time, and this is specific for a listing presentation or working with a lead, you can simply say to them, I get the feeling that you're not interested. Is that fair to say? And then at that point in time, they'll respond. And then you can say, what would it take in order to get that number higher? So that's the temperature close. We're really determining on a scale of 1 to 10 where they stand. And the reason why we ask them not to choose 7 is because that number is just like that cop-out number, right? So we want them to think, am I going in the right direction here, or are we going in the wrong direction here? So it's quite useful for that. But now let's talk about the use case for it. I don't find it works very well at the listing presentation table. It feels a little pushy at that point in time. However, I have used it there, especially with a more dominant style personality. More dominant style personality, really directing the conversation and then providing them with these options. That can work quite nicely. However, where I find this works the best is on the buying side, and actually when we're showing homes. And it's almost more feedback than it is closing, but I still think of it in the same way. So if you show a home, and at that point in time, they're starting to show interest in that property, I will take their temperature towards the end of the viewing. And I'll simply say to them, on a scale of 1 to 10, what did you think of this home if you can't choose number 7? So if they say 6 or 5 or anything below that, I say, no problem, let's cross it off, let's keep looking. We can do better than that. If it's an 8 or a 9, I ask them what they like and what they would change. And if it's a 10, then I ask them what would they like to do now. But here's the thing, is it's very rarely a 10. The odd time you'll get somebody who says it's a 10. However, most of the time they will say 8 or they will say 6. Again, if it's an 8, I simply ask them to let me know what would make that a 9 or a 10. And when they say 8, I tell them that most buyers will choose a home that is an 8 or a 9. So there's very rarely, if ever, a 10. So most buyers will choose an 8 or a 9. And then by saying that, that gives them freedom in their mind to choose a home that is not 100% perfect. Now again, if they were to say 6, or if they were to say 5, or something like that, it basically tells me this is not the home for them. And at that point in time, we cross it off, and we move on to the next one. So I do like this technique for that reason. I don't find it works in every circumstance, of course, but with buyers, and it's again, it's almost more a feedback thing than it is a closing technique, but I find it works really well, and it also gets them thinking, and they typically get a little kick out of this concept too of not being able to choose a 7. In most cases, I'm using either the soft close or I'm using the perfect close. And with that, thank you